Hey everybody, welcome to the Sports Day HS podcast. I am Michael Florek. We got another kind of variation in the crew here. Avi is here.
Hi.
And then we brought back the great Corbett Smith to come on to the podcast for the first time this season.
Yeah, it's exciting to join a podcast professional like Mr. Florek.
Oh.
Of the Quack Attack podcast.
Oh, shout out.
What are you guys, like 101 podcasts?
102 episodes.
That is amazing.
102. Wow. TheQuackAttack.com. Yeah. Anyway.
We got t-shirts for sale, and there's some nice t-shirts, too.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to the matter at hand, though, which
Midnight trip to Puerto Rico.
High school football, as usual. We did not switch it up. We're still talking about high school football.
We could talk about Halloween costumes.
You were a hot dog.
No, I was Anthony
Weiner. Oh, sorry. I didn't.
That's pretty good.
I had a hot dog costume, and then he got back into the news after I had bought the hot dog costume. So I just wrote Anthony on a name tag, and boom, now I'm witty.
Wow. Good job.
It went over well.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's that whole 15-year-old thing, but whatever, Avi.
You do what you do. Whatever. Dude.
Anyway.
I'm always dressed as a giant. I always get like little Cokes.
Oh.
Or alcoholic beverages. And it's like
in the Corona
tiny
Rita
form. Like, yeah, the little shorties. And then I just say, I'm a giant. And then that's it.
That's good.
You probably scare neighborhood kids no matter what you're dressed
as. That's not true. I'm a friendly man.
You're large and hairy.
Yeah, but I have three kids that are climbing all over me and kicking me in the face. So I look like a jungle gym.
Yeah. I was Beanie Baby this year.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was good.
90s throwback.
Yeah.
Much like your other with the Quack Attack.
Oh, yes. Anyway, on to the games here. Corbett, I am just curious. You have covered high school football for a while now.
I have.
And you moved over to education.
I did.
What have your thoughts just been on this season compared to previous seasons?
This season has been more wheels off, I think, than most of the seasons that I was covering it, because to have your traditional powers struggle so mightily, like to have essentially a playing game between Trinity and Flower Mound Marcus, that's like, to me, that's inconceivable to start the season. If someone said that, what are the odds of that? I'd say, you know, it's like a million to one, maybe. Some of the results have been really, really surprising. But as always, Texas High School football is going to, you're going to have your surprises and you're going to have your teams that open some eyes. And, you know, we've got one on the podcast today, Little Elm coach, mm-hmm. Kendrick Brown. He's certainly turned a program that a lot of people didn't expect, to do much in a very tough district. If you look at that district, there's no slouches to beat a team that was a regional finalist last year in Lake Dallas to get there. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and quite the way to win it. They were down by one with like 59 seconds left, and they hit a deep 54-yard touchdown pass to win it. So good for them. I'm glad you kind of said that, because it certainly felt like to me that it was more wheels off and everything was going crazy, but I just wasn't sure. I was like, oh, maybe that just happens and I don't notice it.
You know, so. I couldn't remember a time that Trinity had lost a district game, much less a couple. I mean, of course, when they got in the district with Carroll, okay, yeah, you're going to lose a district game, but, they've been running roughshod against everybody. That win against that loss against Trophy Club Byron Nelson was just one of the shocks, I think, of Texas high school football in the last decade.
Yeah.
Just completely out of left field.
Yeah, I mean, that was a first loss, first win.
Yeah, deal. And if you look at what happened to Byron Nelson subsequent to that, I mean, they've certainly proven themselves as to being a legitimately good team. So.
And the weird thing is that, like, if you look back at Byron Nelson throughout, like, the course of the season, it's, like, wasn't totally out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at the teams they were playing in non-district, they had a pretty tough non-district schedule, and if you look at how much they were losing by, they weren't getting blown out, like, that often. Like, it's one of those where it's like, oh, they're 0-5, and they kind of just, like, stares you in the face. It's like, this is a bad team. But if you look at in-depth, like, how some of the teams they lost to have done over the course of the year, it's like, okay, that's pretty understandable and respectable. But just real quick, just to play devil's advocate, like, yeah, there has been craziness, but I think the top's still the top. I mean, if you look at
the top's always going to be the top. I mean, this thing.
Well,
not
well. Trinity, you kind of consider.
You know, Trinity has
that,
fallen,
but like Carroll
has fallen down. But Carroll's,
you got Carroll's
always
at
be
8-1. Allen's undefeated. Yeah. DeSoto's undefeated. Cedar Hill has been somewhat underwhelming, but they're still, probably a top, definitely a top five team in our area.
Yeah.
Statewide, I don't know. It's kind of topsy turvy there, but
Yeah. I mean, the top is always going to be there, but it's those middle programs that I've really been impressed with. I like Wiley. Like, I didn't have any expectations for Wiley to make the playoffs.
I picked him fourth.
I didn't think that that was going to happen. I didn't think Hebron was going to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. and they've certainly had a great year.
Yeah.
I think the common thread, you know, you go into from Little Elm to Byron Nelson to all these others is great coaching. The guys that they have are established, mm-hmm. really, really quality coaches. And when you talk about Brian Brazel, you talk about Travis Pride, you talk about some dudes who could...
And look at Flower Man with, coming over from Irving MacArthur, Brian Basil.
Brian Basil. It's just a handful of guys who can really coach and get it done.
Yeah. By the way, the aforementioned Byron Nelson gets into the playoff with a win or a Flower Man loss. So there's a very good chance they make the playoffs.
They're in. I think that's – I'll call it now.
Who's the man play?
They play L.D. Bell.
L.D. Bell, yeah. On the road. But nonetheless, L.D. Bell, who struggled this year.
They've struggled, but they've been on the – I think they're on the upswing.
They're on the upswing. Yeah. I mean, Coach Bond is certainly – you know, he's turning things around, but they're still in the turnaround stage.
I think part of what makes this sport fun in this level is that everybody has different expectations. And it's – like, to have a good season, you only need to win, like, a state title. And I think that's kind of going back to what we were saying. It's like you have that upper crust where it's like, such and such is going to be undefeated. And those are the teams who are looking to actually make state title runs and win, you know, a state championship. But then it's fun on different levels where it's like, who can start making improvements on their program? Who can win district? Who can go two rounds deep where they didn't even make the playoffs last year? And I think, like, if you can draw enjoyment from those levels of play, then the entire season as a whole is going to be a lot more enjoyable.
It's one of those things, though. It's nice to see young coaches come into their own. You know, we talked about, we have Kendrick Brown on the show later. You know, he was a guy who at DeSoto was a great defensive coordinator and just looked for his spot. I think a guy like Mike Glaze will get it turned around, you know, mm-hmm. coming from Cedar Hill, you know, going to a place like L.D. Bell, who's generally has some talent, you know, in there. You know, it's a matter of, you know, having to punch with the big boys in that district. You know, the coaching changes really events like some serious changes in programs, mm-hmm. if you get the right guy in the right situation. The Metroplex coaching is probably the best in the state and therefore also in the country because they pay better than virtually anywhere else. You know, the Metroplex
six figure salaries.
Yeah, where you can get some serious cash for some of these coaches, mm-hmm. and that's how you see Heritage coach, Colleyville Heritage
Joe
coach
Willis.
Joe Willis coming up. After establishing himself as a great coach there at Cedar Park, you know, why would he make a jump to a program that is, you know, just kind of in the mix to mm-hmm. just make the playoffs? Well, it's because, you know, you're getting better facilities, you're getting, you know, more pay. The spotlight's on, and it brings out some great coaches. And there, I mean, I think you see that year in and year out. Look at those programs at the top, and they've all got great coaching staff.
Speaking of the top.
Let's do it.
Allen plays Plano East this weekend. They have
played.
Yeah, that's what I meant. But yeah, no great. Worries. No, good job. Good job. So they've been rolling through everybody. I think Plano East has been good, but I think a lot of people expected the Plano for Allen to continue to roll
after
there.
What Allen did to Guyer.
Yeah, and Plano East takes the lead in the second half. They play right almost to the wire there. Eventually lose 38-31. Is that more a reflection of Allen, you think, or is that more a reflection of Plano East?
Can I say both?
Sure.
Yeah, because I think Allen played, you know, not their best game. They were certainly – they didn't look crisp according to the box score because I didn't see the game, so I just saw the box score. But they had been blowing people out, and Plano East had been, you know, largely disappointing in some big games. You know, like they had that game against Guyer. Mm-hmm. And they kind of spit the bit on that game. They just didn't play well.
Spit the bit.
So, you know, you got a chance to do it against Allen. They certainly rose to the occasion. You know, Miklos Smalls played great. You know, they as a whole, to have a lead until, you know, Jonkey scored that touchdown and was the last four minutes or something like that.
I hadn't even really looked at the box score. Jonkey had 123 rushing yards in that game.
Yeah, and the game-winning touchdown with
great picture.
3:47 remaining in the
game.
There
you go.
That was a great picture. And yeah, it's well, the funny thing is that, like, to me it's always a matter of, like, how much is talent going to take you where you want to go? And sometimes you look at teams that are really talented, but they may not be putting W's on the board when they're playing against other, you know, good teams. And Plano East is one of those teams where I think a lot of people just thought because they have really talented players that that's going to kind of take them where they want to go. And, like, this week was a reflection of that, whereas, as you said, like, in previous weeks they've somewhat underperformed. Mm-hmm. Saxey's always been that case for me. I thought Saxey last year, if you look at some of the players they had and the amount of talent, you know, that was on the field, is like, oh, they should, but they didn't.
It doesn't translate into playoff success. The thing about Allen's got, they just have waves of talent.
Yeah.
It's like they're depth.
That third guy who's, you know, rush in, you know, he's a starter for a lot of programs, and, you know, they've got him, you know, like, to be able to roll in there to back up the backup, and so they can
their rushing attack is unbelievable. I mean, Brock Sturgis is a great back, and then you can hit him with Kirby Bennett if the other guy gets tired, and then, you know, Mitchell Jonkey can run the option as well.
And then
you get Tisdale in there if you need. I mean, it's.
I saw a clip from a local TV station. Mm-hmm. There's a wide receiver made a really nice, like, tiptoe down the sidelines, and I didn't know who that kid was, and he only had, like, two catches. And he's a big-looking receiver who is nimble enough to, you know, just to tiptoe down the sideline for a touchdown. That's Allen right there for you.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I think a lot of people assumed Allen might be a little down this year just because new coach, and they didn't have a lot of kind of household names coming into the season. But you talk about that, you had college kids who weren't able to get on the field just because of the talent in front of them. So, so I maybe we were kind of too focused on Allen in that way.
This might be the game that they needed. Because they've been just kind of manhandling everybody.
Right,
you might need to.
Even in non-district.
Game. Yeah, you need a game that you can kind of, you know, feel some adversity and be like, yeah, you remember that back when we came back and won that game. You know, it's that kind of stuff that they didn't have and haven't had for many years because they've dominated everybody. Mm-hmm. And they got into a spot last year in the playoffs, in the semifinals, and just fell flat and couldn't rally at the end.
So, and I can't express enough how excited we were for Denton Guyer versus Allen, and 42-7.
Yeah. So, I mean, Allen could get Trinity in the first round here, which would be an interesting matchup. But let's go to something Corbin mentioned earlier. We have one of the turnaround stories of the season in Little Elm, and joining us on the program, Little Elm coach Kendrick Brown just completed probably the turnaround story of the season, went 0-10 last year, now clinched a spot in the playoffs. Coach, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, at what point this season did you start to realize you guys could be pretty good here?
Well, you know, we started out, guys, we were 2-0, and we were playing pretty good football, and we ran into Prosper, our first district game, and they kind of, it was a tough game for us, but the next week against the Colony, I think that's kind of where we really just took off. And if you really, just be honest, the second half of Prosper, we played very well the second half of Prosper. And I would say starting from that first district game in the second half, we played pretty good. We played the Colony, and that was a last-second loss there. And so you look at the last-second loss versus the Colony, we lost by Irving High by a point. You know, like I tell our guys as we go on, we could easily be really 8-1 right now. So the fight that they showed against the Colony, and that was something that hadn't happened since I've been here. And at that point, I kind of, after that Colony game, I put the team after the game at midfield, and we talked about, you know, this is going to be the last time we lose. And we're gonna stay together. We're gonna keep working hard each and every day. And I asked those guys to believe and have 100% buy-in, and we all agreed that night. And from that point on, we've been on a win streak here, so that's been good.
Can you talk a little bit about like what your off season was after last season, and trying to keep the players focused after an 0-10? I mean, I guess you could use that as a motivator, but was there a time when you had to, you know, basically sell things again to them and say, hey, do it our way. Things are going to look up. You know, the future is bright.
Well, here's what I'll say. 0-10, it's brutal, guys. It's very brutal. It's brutal from a standpoint, especially coming from, you know, we came from DeSoto, and you go right from being one of the top teams in the nation to now you're at the bottom of the Metroplex. And I think the biggest deal there was, I had two concerns, really, once we that last game last year was, A, I thought I had a pretty good coaching staff, and my whole deal was, man, you got to keep your coaches. Coaches tend to, especially when you have pretty good coaches, they like, man, this is a career killer. So So I thought that was important to visit with the staff, and we kept every coach stayed on board, and that was, I thought, was a big key to us doing what we were able to do this year. That showed the belief that the coaches had in what we were trying to do. And the second thing was the kids. I mean, that's tough on kids. 0-10, they're in the communities, in the school, it's tough. So the thing that we had to do was to build a fence around the program. And once we built that fence around the program, now it was about the next year will not have any sort of reflection on what we did this past season. And that would be a new identity. And the guys bought into that, and we had a great off season. We had a great spring. Our summer workouts were, our turnout was at record numbers. So the kids really, really, you got to give them a lot of credit, man, for just staying and believing. And because we worked them, we went to work right after that first, after that last ball game last year. And kids, man, they worked hard each and every day.
Coach, this is Corbett. Did you have any concerns about the, your career path? You were itching for a head coaching job, and I know that you were a finalist in a couple of different spots.
Right.
And Little Elm seemed like a program that you could get going in your right direction. Were you ever concerned that you might not be given enough time to do that, considering how you had struggled over those last couple of years?
Well, again, you look at a turnaround. I think it's important in order for any program to do what we were able to do this year. We talked about the coaching staff. We talked about the players. The thing that you got to have to give you support and to give you the motivation to keep working every day is support from your administration. And I would say our superintendent, Dr. Lowell Strike, our principal, Ms. Pentecost, Renee Pentecost, and our athletic director, Sandra Howell, from day one, they've been one of our biggest supporters. And there was no doubt that they were just going to be patient and allow me and the staff to do what we needed to do. And so you saw it this year. I mean, our junior varsity team is competing. They're going to end up tied for district championship. Our freshman team is playing real well this year. So that's different. When I first got here, we were a one-win freshman team. I think our JV didn't win at all, and then we didn't win on the varsity level. So winning begets winning. So now you're looking at our varsity team. We're a playoff team, and our sub-varsities are successful. We even though we don't like talking about that, but we're really a young team this year on our varsity team. So we really feel the best days are really ahead, and we still got a lot of football to play this year.
Coach, I'm not super familiar with like y'all's attendance zones or really anybody else's for that matter, but geographically, the way you guys are kind of fit in there, I mean, you're like right down the road from Frisco Lone Star and kind of, you know, sandwiching that corner around Frisco ISD. You know, is it kind of a unique challenge sometimes to kind of get kids to buy into the program and know that, you know, they can come to Little Elm and be successful?
Well, yes, because you look at and I think this is interesting. You look at Frisco Lone Star. A lot of the kids that attend Frisco Lone Star live in the city of Little Elm, Texas. You look at a lot of kids on Highway 380, and that's Little Elm, Texas. A lot of those kids go to Denton High School. So we also, there's a portion of Little Elm that attends Frisco ISD. So that's the thing about Little Elm. It's a big city, and it's a growing city. And but there, that little portion that goes to Little Elm, that's kind of the portion that now it wasn't having a lot of growth, but now you look at the houses that are being developed in this area, it's a booming area, and that's a lot of the attendance zone areas now are slated to go to us now. So winning helps all of that. I mean, it helps with people because it is a booming area. Frisco, Little Elm area, Prosper area is it's growing crazy. And the thing that, you know, when people are looking to move to an area, of course, is now everybody wants to know, okay, how are you doing
right,
football-wise? So now we feel like we're right there because we do. I think if you look at affordable living, Little Elm does offer. You can get a nice house, but not as much as it would cost, say, in Frisco or Prosper. So we're real fortunate that having a good year, hopefully that can help with all the
You're going to have to print flyers, Coach. Affordable housing and good football.
Put all these bullet points onto a flyer in good shape.
Look at this nice welcome basket that Coach left us on the front.
I know it. There you go. Absolutely.
You talk about Lone Star being right up the road. Is it going to add anything to this bi-district mashup that's already set? You guys play Frisco Lone Star in the first round. Does that add anything? And also, as a kind of a secondary question, how do you approach this week when you're already set in your playoff spot?
Well, I'll answer that last question first. The opportunity to go 7-3, I talked to our coaching staff on yesterday. It hasn't been since Cole Beasley was a senior that the program has had a 7-win season. So, and as you're looking at over a decade there. Mm-hmm. So that's very important for us to continue winning. That'll give us a 5-game winning streak there. So anytime you go into a game, you say, okay, McKinney North, there's not much. As far as playoff seeding, there's nothing really at stake other than the fact that we do – feel that's important for the program to go 7-3. So that is our mindset, and that's the way we're going to approach this game. I think all coaches will tell you you'd rather go in the playoff on a hot streak than on a losing streak. I can tell you that. But so that's important for us, and I know. And your first question, the Lone Star, we were with them, those guys, the last 2 years. And a lot of these kids, the thing is, it's really similar to a Cedar Hill DeSoto deal, other than we haven't, we're trying to get to a point to where Lone Star has been. But the kids know each other, the communities know each other, so it's going to be a special game. And that game we did meet this morning, we're going to play it next Friday over Standard Stadium in Carrollton, so it'll be good.
There you go. A little breaking news for you.
That's a good choice, Coach. Yeah. Good press box food.
Great Wi-Fi. Great Wi-Fi.
I know it. So we're pretty fired up about that.
All right. Little Elm Coach Kendrick Brown, thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to watching you in the playoffs here.
Yeah, guys, it's always good to be back on that winning side. It's when you're not winning, nobody really wants to talk to you. So, man, this week, everybody. So I'm like, yes, we've kind of – that's where we want to be, and that's where we want to stay. So we're excited.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck the rest of the season.
Congrats, Coach.
Thank you. Yes, appreciate you guys.
Thanks again to Little Elm Coach Kendrick Brown. Let's look forward to this week. A lot of play-in games for the playoffs. A lot of district titles on the line, obviously, last week of the season. But first, I mean, we have – pretty much nobody here who plays and nobody believes in this game, but we can still play if you would like to.
I will totally play it.
Okay, so I don't know if you're familiar with Nobody Believes.
I am totally familiar because I listen to the podcast every week and subscribe on iTunes like you should, because it'll just show up on your phone as a podcast. Little signal says like it has one podcast and you can listen to it when you're sleeping or in the car or doing like laundry or something.
Exactly.
Do it, folks.
Exactly.
Dressed as a hot dog.
That was... Exactly. That was a better pitch than Coach Brown gave to move to Little Elm.
So. I don't know. I think they're going to put some, like, you know, Cole Beasley jerseys together with a PowerPoint presentation printed out, roll it up, and stuff in their mailboxes.
Do you have problems getting players? Are you kidding me? Come on in.
All right. So if you are new and are not like Corbett yet, who subscribes on iTunes, basically we pick the team that we believe is going to end the week saying, oh, nobody believed in us, they were sleeping on us, that kind of stuff. And we assign points to it. And 1 point, if it's the underdog and it wins, you get 2 points if you pick them in the paper. Well, I guess an additional point. And then it's 5 points if they mention the podcast. And I think it's another 3 points if they mention that.
They have to mention the podcast? How do they do that?
If they mention it and they're like, oh, you picked against us, or you picked us.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't even remember because no one. But I think it's 3 points if they mention that no one was actually believing in us and that kind of stuff.
Corbett's kind of like Whose Line.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we just make it up. We just make it up
as a goal. Points are relevant. Let's go.
I mean, I have a demanding 6-2 to 2-1 lead right now. So
I'm gonna have to get somebody to mention it on the podcast. Actually, tweet out
Yeah.
They don't believe in us.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to have to do it. But do you have a team ready or do you
I'm ready.
Okay. Who is your nobody believes in us team for
Terrell.
This
one? Terrell Tigers.
Okay.
Playing a game that will not be picked in the paper, so I won't get my 2 points there. Because who? I guess Greg Riddle picks them, and it's just like it's always the same schools. They're playing the Van Vandals.
Oh, that's a good team.
Not only is it
state-ranked.
State-ranked. They're number 9 in the state. Terrell's like lone district loss is to Kaufman, but it was a fairly close game, and I believe in Mike Shields that he's a good coach. You know, came over from Red Oak and has established something really good there at Terrell. So, yeah, I'll say Terrell over Van. Is my upset pick of the week.
Wow. It's a lock.
It's a lock. Hey, call this number, and I'll give you my three locks for Friday.
That's right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Avi, go for it.
I was going to say, what's going to be weird about this week and with this game this week is it's interesting to see who actually plays their starters.
Yeah.
Because some of these teams have nothing to play for, and it's like, why? Like, look at Mansfield last week against Bowie, which, granted, that was kind of for the district title,
for the
and
outright.
They still sit Adebo and Kennedy Brooks, and they still win.
That is one of the only times I've ever seen something like that happen, though. Most coaches are just going to play out the string, and they're just going to be like, yeah, we're keeping our starters in until we get a lead. I was real surprised they put him on the bench, and then I was real surprised that they took care of business against
it's
him.
Like, oh.
But Kennedy Brooks is like, man, they've been running the brakes off that guy. It's like, you know, 30 carries, 300 yards. You know, he's just been getting a lot of wear and tear. So I could understand you wanted to sit a guy like that or Eno Benjamin or somebody like that if you have have a chance to do it.
So this is one of those where I've been kind of riding with – there's been three teams that I've been kind of riding with all year through hell and high
those
water.
Your homies.
Pretty much. It's Frisco Independence.
Yeah, I was going to guess them.
Frisco Independence, my boys, and sure enough, they've been darned if they give up 40 points a game. They'll score 70. The second is Garland Lakeview Centennial. And then the third is my nobody believes in us is Hebron. Against South Lake Carroll.
Okay.
This is a really good matchup. This is basically to win the district. So there's something, you know, something on the line. Both these teams were kind of shaky to begin the year. Hebron has one of the weirdest losses you'll ever
see.
That
loss to Plano?
30-point loss to Plano. I think it was like 33-7 or something like that. You just get the doors blown off.
They
like
gave up all
two.
The points in the second quarter in that loss.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
So they're 7-2 this year. I really like what Clayton Toon does. I really like the fact that they have a lot of imaginary momentum, which, as we know, doesn't mean anything. But they've been just having great play in district, and I wouldn't be surprised if Hebron pulls the upset there.
I like it. Now,
I think that's a terrible pick.
Wow.
Because I think Carroll's going to blow the doors off of him.
Okay, cool, Corbett. You can leave.
But you know who else thought that? Matt Wixon. Who had to leave because he that was Matt Wixon's pick too.
Yeah.
So many people don't believe in him that he's the popular pick 2-for-1.
I have to say something provocative.
Okay.
It was either that or Aubrey against Salina.
Oh, see, I like that pick.
Mm. See, I was going to go with Aubrey.
I think Salina will coast in that game. But
I like the pick. You're wrong.
Aubrey's had a good season, though.
Had a great season.
If you're
and
looking at a team that might be able to sneak up on somebody, yeah.
And scientifically, one of my favorite logos in the Metroplex.
Scientifically. You know a lot about logos.
It's too much. Enough to know that the ones we have wrong right now. Sorry, Richardson.
Oh, shout out to Richardson.
We have the wrong Eagle logo right now. It's like the flying R.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Apparently they retired a decade ago, according to their booster club.
Well, they need to bring it back because they're Ofer, right?
Yeah, switch it up.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's our fault for not having the right logo.
Get those throwbacks. Get those throwbacks out there, Richardson. Come on.
All right. I am going with another of Avi's boys.
Uh-oh.
I'm taking Frisco Independence. Over
what? Yeah. What?
I was just going to be...
First one to 80.
Exactly. It's just going to be a slugfest out there. I believe in Dom Williams, Kansas commit.
He has more points than Kansas this year.
Oh, that's a fun fact.
Look at that.
That's like a legitimate fun fact.
Well, that was heading into Saturday. I'm sorry, that was Friday night after he had scored 5 touchdowns against Centennial. He had more points on his own than the Kansas offense did as a team.
So I believe in him. I think it's just going to be a shootout. And who knows, maybe there's a fumble, maybe there's some interceptions. I'm taking the bounces here, really, and I'm just hoping that Independence can kind of stick with them.
I saw Lone Star play Timberview earlier in the season on a Thursday night, and man, they just look vulnerable to me. So I would be surprised to see them make as deep a run as they did last year.
I like their linebackers, not real high on their line.
Yeah, they were getting so much pressure on Timberview's defense. It's good. Certainly they've looked much better
right.
as the year.
But if Lone
has
Star wants to like go to state, yeah.
Yeah, I mean this is a Timberview team that was what 5-4. They're now 5-4.
I believe they're 5-4. Yeah.
So I mean,
6-3. Maybe?
Yeah, 4 losses. It's like not a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Playing in District 10-5A, which Matt has dubbed the District of Doom,
it is a District of Doom. Although I would argue that the district with the Mesquite and Rockwall schools.
Oh,
11-6.
That's so deep.
Just so ridiculous. Yeah.
You got Rockwall looking mediocre when they're a very good team.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, speaking of that district,
let's do it.
We have Heath versus Horn, Rockwall versus North Mesquite. Two of those four teams are going to make the playoffs. Now
Rockwall's in with a win, right? Because they're 4-2
in the district.
Correct.
And then the other three are 3-3 in the district. So you have this four-way kind of playoff almost here. I'm not up on the tiebreakers quite yet here, but elsewhere
it requires Rockwall to lose to get into some serious tiebreakers, though, right?
Well, I mean, there's
because if they lose, then the team that wins the matchup between
would go in. So
right. That's a play-in game, basically.
Which
I think we can all agree that's the probable scenario. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, I think North Mesquite's going to have something to say for Rockwall. You know, Jacquez Gooch, Drayshawn Miniweather, those dudes
are healthy again.
Yeah, you know, and that's a legitimately powerful offense. I like Rockwall.
I like Rodney Webb too much. His bag of tricks, love it.
I'll pick Rockwall in that game. The other game I'm really kind of intrigued with because Heath has been, you know, I just don't even know what to think.
Yeah,
they're very inconsistent. They can be really good, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that offense is just kind of quirky enough for some teams that they can't figure it out and that other teams can just kind of take it to them. Elsewhere, I mean, just the play-in games, you have Mansfield Lakers, Waxahachie, Arlington Martin, Arlington Lamar, Flowerman Marcus, Trinity, LD Bell, Byron Nelson. That's Byron Nelson if Byron Nelson wins, they're in. And Grand Prairie, Duncanville. Out of those games, which one are you kind of looking at the most there?
I'm looking at
Saginaw Brewer, Northwest Eaton.
That's too.
That's a play-in game.
That's a play-in game too.
I'm looking at just Duncanville, Grand Prairie for the implications as a whole. No, I'm not saying it's not the look. Marcus Trinity is the most intriguing, but I'm interested to see if DeSoto is going D1 or D2.
If Duncanville gets challenged in that game, I will be shocked. Like if they're like legitimately threatened in the second half, that'll be a great.
I think
accomplishment for Grand Prairie. I think there's a yawning chasm between both of those teams.
Okay.
I personally am looking at Mansfield Lakers, Waxahachie here.
I think that's a crazy game. It's insane to me to think that one of those teams is going to be. Yeah. Down, but, there you go.
It's going to be the best team to miss the playoffs.
It stinks.
Yeah. It does stink. Yeah.
That stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, Waxahachie, we've talked about ad nauseum, but. I mean, what a weird season. I mean, as a roller coaster as it can get from highest ranking, 10th in the state?
Oh, yeah. I think they were 6th at one point.
6th in the state to just that district. That's what it does to you, man. It wears you down. And credit to Lancaster, you know?
Yeah.
Credit to Lancaster and credit to Chris Milson at Legacy.
Legacy
is that team that has bumped them out, you know, pushed everybody aside.
They have. They've established themselves as the number two.
As that next team. So, if you said Legacy is going to be in the mix, well, then you got Timberview and Lake Ridge and Waxahachie. You got a bunch of schools that are just sitting there, and Summit, too. Summit's not a bad squad.
I like Waxahachie against Lake Ridge. I know it's kind of a toss-up. I like Waxahachie in that game.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that just because Jalen Rager is probably the best player I've seen this year. He can do pretty much everything other than throw the ball, like play quarterback.
Real quick aside, did you see what Tyrell Shavers did last week?
Oh, yeah.
They just put him at quarterback. He was tweeting. I don't know if he deleted him, but he was actively like tweeting about how he didn't like the play calling. And so they just put him. They just put him at quarterback.
He did throw a touchdown on the first drive or the second drive.
He did pretty. I mean, he lost the game, but he did pretty well. So sorry to get us off track.
Yeah. Oh, no worries. Just anything else? You'd mentioned Northwest Eaton, Corbett. I'll spend a second on them. New school, new program. They win. They're in.
At 3-7, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be quite the first year. It's quite the finish for them because they beat Braswell, then lost six straight, and now they've won two in a row. So
I'll give that one a look over, and the Matt Stepp special, Burleson Centennial at Everman.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
Everman's playoff hopes are on the line. They got to win that game to get in. I don't think that's going to happen, but,
Yeah, Everman's on like a 19-year playoff streak or something like that. Yeah. So, all a lot to look out for this week.
Again, it's lost a little bit of shine real quick.
Okay.
How much were we looking forward to Highland Park Wiley East at the beginning of the year?
Not at all. Wiley East is, they're good, but man, they are a one-man band.
Yeah.
I was out there with Florek and watched them play Poteet.
Yeah.
And poor old Eno Benjamin, man, he's just getting bludgeoned to death.
Yeah, I will say, Wiley East did not have their other running back in that game, so they had, nobody to spell Eno there.
Where do we fit Highland Park right now in the playoff scheme in Class 5A? Like, at the beginning of the season, at the tippy-top beginning of the season, I would say, they're a regional finalist. Like, pencil them in. And that early season loss to Hatchie now, and the way that Hatchie has struggled, what happened?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Highland Park's doing a good job. I think they're going to sneak up on some people. I think they're good for three rounds.
Yeah.
Three or four rounds.
I think they could still make the regional finals. Okay. I don't think it's like a pencil them in now, but definitely possible.
I don't know what their path looks like. What region are they in?
Well, they'll
be region two.
Region two, they'd get a 16 5A team, and there's some marginal.
Yeah,
folks in that district.
Texarkana, Texas is going to win that.
Yeah,
and
Texas
then,
High is by far the best
right,
team in that district.
Yeah, and then it's pretty much everyone else.
It's so tough this time of year, and this is better for next week, but so tough when we don't know about teams that have just steamrolled through their schedule, and then they just get walloped in the first round because they just haven't been playing good teams. And so it's they'll go up against a DFW team that has four or five losses, but the DFW team is just far superior. It just doesn't have a better record.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what's happened to teams like Sachse in the past, where you run in a Garland district that's been fairly light, and then you get in the playoffs and you have to immediately hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how good some of these mismatched districts are. Like, What can you tell me about 8-6A? I don't know anything about 8-6A, but generally those Killeen schools in that area can really play. Those types of matchups are going to be kind of the fun.
I feel like that's the Corbett special every year, is to find the Killeen schools, and then he gets on the podcast. It's like, well, watch out for, well, of course, we all know San Angelo,
San Angelo Central has a potential to be dropped to D, be pushed up to D1. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to be D2. So the D2 playoffs is going to be stupid
bonkers.
In Region 1.
Yeah.
Because you've got, you'll have
Cedar Hill.
Cedar Hill and DeSoto.
And DeSoto.
You'll have Carroll. You'll have, a Central team that, if you look at what they did against Abilene, they just blew the doors off of Abilene.
That was one of those
Byron. They beat them by 40 in non-district.
That was one of those Byron Nelson losses. Where it's they got destroyed, but everybody's getting destroyed by San Angelo Central.
San Angelo Central's legit, so I'll be fascinated to see where they end up, because they're going to play El Paso in the first round and just go to town.
Yep.
All right, so a lot to look out for this week, and obviously in the playoffs. So for us, for me, for Corbett, for Avi, go to sportsahs.com at sportsahs, Instagram sportsahs.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Instagram's kind of popping this year.
Snapchat.
We're on Snapchat. We basically have one designated person, so they'll be snapping from that game. What's really weird, real quick, is that I guess on Snapchat, if it recognizes the number of somebody in your phone, it assigns that name. So when y'all Snapchat from SportsHS, it comes up as Avi Zalen on my phone.
Oh,
and it's that weird looking in a mirror. It's wait, I didn't move my hand, but the mirror moved because I'm not the one Snapchatting, but says I am.
Got it.
Got it.
Cool.
Sorry,
so,
whatever.
We'll see you Friday night.